we get started, I don't have a lot. I got to tell you, right now I'm doing better than I have done all day.
Amen.
And let me explain that to you a little bit. Last night I got into bed about 9:30, fell asleep. About 12:30 I got a phone call. At 3 o'clock this morning, I'm back at work. So I've had a long day. But right now, I am so stoked that I'm telling you it's amazing. It's like I've gotten my second wind. I feel revitalized. You don't need all those things. You need Jesus. Amen. You get high on Him. Praise the Lord. Stan and Connie, as you can see, are not here tonight. Please continue to lift them up. You know, I have never met in my life a man or a woman who are stronger than those two. But when the onslaught and the battle comes to the degree that it's come to them, especially in this thing they're right in the middle of now, the best of us, the enemy would like to get us to waver. And that's not happening, praise the Lord. And God's taken all of this and He's going to turn it around. We prayed that the lies the enemy's been speaking about them in this situation are fallen to the ground. Amen. That the darkness, that the light's being shown in that darkness and it's all being exposed, and that the truth is going to shine forth. Justice and righteousness is going to be done.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I was able to pray with Stan tonight again, and we prayed last night, but just continue to lift them up. I understand they're probably going to be back in court tomorrow. And, you know, any of us, with the amount of things that have gone on here recently, would begin to start to feel a little feeble. But they're not giving in. They're not giving up. Amen. I don't know about y'all. I'm committed to make sure that I hold up their hands and don't let the enemy do what he wants to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. So,
the Word says, a righteous man may stumble seven times,
but he rises up again. That's right. Amen. Amen.
We serve a God who doesn't allow us to be underfoot.
Amen.
We serve a God who causes the devil to be underfoot.
Amen. Well, He is. Jesus is the head. We're the body. And because the enemy is His footstool, the enemy is our footstool. You know, we need to just resign ourselves to that. You know? We need to just resign ourselves to that. Amen?
Amen?
We confess every Sunday. This book is the Word of God. We have what it says we have. We are what it says we are. And that we will do what it says we will do. Amen? Praise the Lord. And that last part, I'm telling you, this is really burning in me. It says, I boldly proclaim that my mind is open, my heart is receptive to the Word of God, and I will never be the same.
Amen.
I will never be the same. Amen? How many feel that way from the Word that's been coming out? Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Does anybody have a testimony? Praise report. We're watching Deborah get with it, man. She's getting into it here. Praise the Lord. We're happy to have her. So, we missed you tonight at practice. Hallelujah.
Tim Reed is doing real good.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. He's been a week. Everything is too sweet. Everything is too salty. But doesn't matter what you give her. Too sweet or too salty. But this. She's coming along, and she's got a little more strength these days.
Praise God.
She's got more food than meat, and I know what to do with. I've been cramming stuff in the fridge and the freezer. So I want to thank you guys for all that you've been doing.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. She's, every day she gets up, you can see that she's got a little more strength, and I'm getting better. I thank God for all the
prayers. Amen. Amen. I thought the way he was talking there, he was going to tell us that he's taking one long meal a day from the time he gets up to the time he goes to bed. There's so much food, but He referred to the refrigerator, so we won't go there.
The funny thing is that Barry used to work for Kinder Morgan. Kinder away from us. And there was a gal there that used to be his boss. So her name is Kelly Fields. And she called me this morning about 8 o'clock. She says, I'll be there in half an hour. I thought, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm going to drown. And about 25 minutes later, she pulls up. I didn't know she was going to be there, but I knew her well. You know, Barry played volleyball with her. She was a good boss. And they had a lot of things going. Anyway, they're a lot of fun. She came in and she's got 3 meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I thought, oh. And I told me when she left, I said, we got another day's food supply, and I'm kind of waiting. It is unbelievable.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, the windows of heaven.
The refrigerator can't contain it, right?
Yeah, I can't contain it. No, even the fridge can't contain it.
The fridge
overflows. Yeah, my fridge overflows.
That sounds like God to me.
Manna and quail, huh?
It's amazing. It's
yeah, God always provides. He provided for us today, and I was sitting there saying, well, Lord, if we're getting down to the canned goods and the dry goods, and it's kind of hard to make a people out of starchy. And his mother came over and gave him 3 gifts, or 4 gift certificates to Dean Supers. And I said, praise the Lord, go get some groceries. And fortunately, everything was on sale at Dean Supers today. So I was like, whoo, boy, God provides. So now we got some fresh vegetables and a little bit of meat.
I've got 4 little verses here. I don't know why. God just impressed me. This is where we were supposed to go, or what, you know, just to read this. And I trust there's something there that God's going to touch somebody with, or excite somebody, or whatever. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time together. More than any of it, Lord, we thank you that you're God. You are God. You are worthy to receive all praise and all honor and all glory. You're in control, Lord. Even when things get to the point where it looks like they're out of control, Lord, you're still in control. Cause us to grow and to learn that, Lord. Let that be ingrained into us, Lord. Let it be cemented and sealed into us, Lord. That no matter what's going on around us, no matter what we feel or what we see, or no matter what the attack, you're still in control. You don't change, Lord. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank you, Lord, that you've already explained to us, Lord, and more every day we're getting it, that you don't have any thoughts for us except for good, to prosper us and not to harm us, and to give us a hope and a future. Holy Spirit, come now tonight. Take control. We yield to you. And we thank you for revelation and understanding. In Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians 3:15 through 18. You know, I don't care who you are. It seems like the hardest thing to deal with in any situation is when you have people, tools or instruments of the enemy, who imitate their father very well, tell lies about you. That's something that just most folks just, I mean, there's something about that that just absolutely, if you're not led by the Spirit and if you're not controlled by the Spirit, can send you over the edge. You know? How do you combat lies?
With truth.
That's right.
No weapon.
But when you're in the middle of a situation in an arena where the enemy seems to always be in control, which we know that's not the case. When we know God, He steps in, He goes before us, the Bible says. Amen. He makes the crooked places straight, brings the high places low. Amen. The low places high, and gives us a straight shot. Amen. So, I don't know what God's up to as far as... Well, let me rephrase that. I know God's up to something great. That's a better way to put it. And I'm going to tell you something. I absolutely anticipate and expect better, I mean, I don't know how you could get any better myself, but better messages and a better testimony from our pastors than we've ever had because of all of this. You don't go through this much what do you want to call it? Turmoil, and not have something good at the other end.
The bigger the battle, the bigger the victory.
Amen. Amen. And let me tell you, this one has been a doozy. And for most of us, in fact, all of us, we've gone through it with them. And I know Stan and Connie appreciate that, the constant prayers, and so praise the Lord for that. Anyway, Galatians 3:15. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it.
What is that scripture again?
Galatians 3:15-18. All right. Again, that's, brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. We all know we've been grafted into that vine, that we are now of the seed of Abraham. Amen? Y'all know that? Praise the Lord. That's exciting. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant by what was confirmed before by God in Christ, in the Anointed One with the anointing. Christ means the Anointed One with the anointing. That it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Praise the Lord. You know, I feel like we want to go on in this a little bit. I think we may read all the way to 25. It doesn't make any difference what goes on in our lives, what situation we're in, what we're facing for the moment. And it's only for a moment. It may seem like an eternity sometimes, but it's only for a moment. I'm reminded of the scripture that says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen? Amen? And I'm reminded of the Footprints in the Sand poem. It's so easy in the heat of battle, in the heat of a situation, to look and wonder where God's at, because we get so caught up in what's going on that we forget, number one, whose we are. For a moment, I'm not saying forever or, you know, for a long period of time, but for just a moment, we get caught up in what's happening right in front of our face. But thank God for the Holy Spirit who comes and brings us back, reminds us, number one, whose we are, who's in control, and the thoughts that He has for us. Amen. See, that's what you know, I've heard Stan say many times, this has absolutely become part of my life, is that if we get together and I haven't built your faith, if I haven't caused you to be edified, comforted, exhorted, then I failed you. Well, who's the better one to do that than even me? God the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, we know by the Word that He says He'll never, ever leave us nor forsake us. And we read in verse 15, we read about a man's covenant. But it's a covenant that God made in this particular portion of Scripture with Abraham. We need to remember that we have a covenant with God. We have a covenant. He's made that with us. We remember how He... I don't remember the circumstances around it, but y'all know what I'm talking about, I'm sure. Where basically there was sacrifices laid out. And because we had nothing to be able to bring into the exchange over that covenant, we see God, or the Godhead, walk through the middle of that, consume the sacrifices with fire, and seal that covenant Himself because we had nothing to offer. Making us heirs, joint heirs, amen? Now listen carefully, and more than conquerors. The only thing we had to bring to the table was our own lives. Right? I don't know if I've ever done the song in this church, but maybe a long time back. But there's a song that I used to do called The Highest Praise. And basically the chorus and the moral of the whole story, or the point, if you want to say that, is the highest praise we have to give is to give our lives to Him. Amen? That's the highest praise. It's not sacrifices. It's not how much you give in the offering. Basically what it is a surrendering control of your life, your thoughts, your actions, your desires to Him, exchanging them, laying them down, and taking up His likes, desires, wants, and wishes. Amen? In exchange for ours. Praise the Lord. Though as only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it.
Right. Well, when was this covenant made? It was made prior to the Mosaic covenant, which shows that God's full intention was for Him to do the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
See, in the Old Testament, the reason I know this is God's had me in here for months on the difference between law and grace. When Christians follow law, because it fulfills their flesh, grace does not. Because you have to lose all control and everything's trust.
Mm-hmm.
So the law, you cannot. The Old Testament was, you shall, you shall, you shall. New Testament is, I will. I will write them on the heart.
Amen.
This seed was Abraham prior to the Mosaic. And if you look prior to verse 15, it's exactly what he's talking about, that we were not to go back into the law of bondage, but to be set free in the Spirit of grace.
Starting in verse 10 up to 14, it basically what it is it's talking about the law, that, you know, the law brings a curse. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, I don't want to get into a long dissertation about that, but it's not what you might think, like, you know, voodoo or witchcraft or something like that. It places you into bondage, and isn't that a curse? Isn't that a curse? Anything that places you into a place where you feel stifled or bound up, that's a curse. Amen? Praise the Lord. And even the, and it says, and I say that the law, in verse 17, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, in the Anointed One, that it should make the promise of no effect. No matter what we do, no matter what happens, we cannot make the promise or make His, the things He's given us, be null and void. It's not possible. We can lose sight of them. We can walk away from them. We can lay them down, pick other things up for a while, but we can't negate them or stop them. We all know the Word says God's gifts and calls when He sends them are irrevocable. Never changes His mind. Never withdraws them when once they're given. And we're not talking about fivefold ministry gift here. That's included in it. But we're talking about what Scripture tells us, God tells us in His Word, every one of us has been given a gift. Amen. We have a place to fulfill. Amen. Praise the Lord. In verse 18, it says, and I'll just say it like this, if our inheritance is of the law, it's no longer a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. And now we are partakers of that. Praise the Lord. What purpose then, in verse 19, does the law serve? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is then the law against the promise of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life. How many know? See, think about the scripture, what it says here. We just read that scripture. If the law, it said there, if the law could have, you know, given life. What does the Bible say about the law? The word says, the letter of the law kills. It's the spirit that gives life.
Right.
Amen? Praise the Lord. It says, certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. And we all know, because of our experience, and because we are partakers of that, that it came by grace and by promise. Amen?
Amen.
Not by law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus, the Anointed One, might be given to those who believe. I think that fits everyone in this room. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. The law was what we followed. The law was what was followed in order to keep, you know, everybody safe. One of the laws was that the high priest had to go in, make an atonement for sin every year. Right? And that's not necessary anymore. We know by the scripture that it says it's not by the blood of bulls and goats anymore. Amen?
Can I stretch you a little there? It's not just about that. That's good. This has been such a deep, this has been a very difficult study, this book. I keep rereading chapters to get the understanding. I'm sitting here going, when someone comes to Christ, they come to Christ because they find that they are lacking in an area, right?
Oh, definitely.
They're needing something bigger than themselves because they realize, and that is the law that brings them, it says in Romans 6, brings them to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they're supposed to do. The law is designed for them. Once we come to Christ, though, the law is not, it only brings death after that. Because
right.
He is our redemption. He's our sanctification. He's everything. Even after we become Christians, no works of righteousness come from us.
Right.
Right? But a lot of people don't get that. For years. The person that wrote this had been a pastor for years and years. And felt like he looked at the word as a gun to his head all the time. Should. And yet Jesus says, his commandments are not burdensome. But how many of us feel burdened by some of the things that God says to us? Right? So the difference is, when we lay down our life, when we release, then He comes forth. In some regards, it's a small change of the mindset, and then in other ways, it's completely like a whole new world. Because then all of a sudden, you get no credit, because the law, if you follow the law, I tithe, I do this, I do that, I do this, I go to church 7 times a week, whatever you put is what you think is your standard, then you feel like you're acceptable to God. But then when you don't do something right and you don't know how to overcome that, then you feel like, how can I go to God? I'm being a hypocrite. And the difference is you personally, when you become a new creature, you're not the one that's sinning. Your flesh is sinning, but you're not. Now you're, I know. I'm telling you, I had to read these chapters 5 and 6 times. And then what happens is people are afraid to take that grace. Because then what happens? Do we sin because of grace? The Bible says certainly not. But we look at it as when we can crucify our flesh, then he becomes human. We won't have those issues. That's why he says, you can never say, I'm an alcoholic, because you're a new creature. In 1 John, he says, little children, if you are of God, you do not sin.
Right?
So all of a sudden, you're looking at this. I'm telling you, this thing with the law, Bill, has been so fascinating for me to look at and say, I am a new creature. I don't sin. But my flesh struggles with this and this and this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not... That doesn't mean you don't go and ask for forgiveness. We're not talking that. The distinction is in the mind that makes you want to go to the Lord and not be pulled back from God.
So what about when you read the Bible and you think that you're all, you need to work on that?
Then
is that like the law, is that like being condemned by the Holy Spirit? Is that what?
Well, the Holy Spirit won't condemn. He'll convict and say, okay, this is an area that you need to work at. And you give it to God, and then he says, if you take up your cross daily, because what does it say? The fruit of the Spirit, at the end of Galatians there, says there's no law.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're acting in love, what law do you need?
Mm-hmm.
If you're acting in peace, what law do you need?
We're also told that it's the great commandment.
Right. So, but you see, there's the difference between should and feeling compelled. Like you are trying to pressurize yourself into becoming a Christian versus relaxing and letting Christ manifest. Exactly.
It's,
no, not a puppet.
Not a puppet, Amanda.
When you trust, then you can relax.
So
no.
No. We're yoked together.
We work together.
So when we allow him to lead and we follow his footsteps, he's pulling us where we're supposed to go, like a puppet would. But see, the difference is we're still choosing to pull with him. If we pull away from him, or if we open the yoke up and get out, which people do sometimes.
Amanda, there's a couple things I want to tell you, sweetie. First of all, one of the things that we all have to come to the realization of is condemnation and guilt do not come from God. Condemnation and guilt come from the law. When you do something, there's a consequence. And, what Tanya's saying is good. I mean, it bears consideration. It's good stuff. But I also want to tell you something. If you were a puppet, then you would be doing things out of the will of somebody else. And God wants us to do it because we love Him. And so He wants us to yield ourselves to Him. Let me ask you a question. In the marriage between your mom and dad, who's greater? No, I mean, of the two of them, who's greater? That's exactly right. Well, I wasn't trying to set her up, but I want everybody to see something. I want everybody to see something. God is no respecter of persons. God has set order, but that order is not I'm better than you. This is the way it is, and it's for your welfare. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's for your welfare. God set order in the church. And in our lives, Jesus, when He paid the price, and this is something we have trouble grasping a hold of, took it all. There is nothing left. That's why the scripture Mom quoted a minute ago about, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Okay? The law brings condemnation because we realize we've violated something. But the scripture says that the handwriting of ordinances that was against you and I was wiped out, done away with. He says, our transgressions were buried in the deepest sea and removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that means that the old person is no longer When once we give our lives to Him, remember I talked to him a second ago about the highest praise. Once we give our lives to Him, that old person no longer exists. No. Let me say that again. The old person no longer exists. Okay, I can almost see you going, but I look in the mirror and there I am. I am crucified with Christ. Listen carefully. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not me, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, if I've made a commitment to Him, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Do you see where I'm going? Do you understand that? Is it becoming clear? See? Our flesh has a propensity to want to follow law or to be under law. Our flesh also has a propensity to want to beat itself up and to, you know, point and CC, you know. But you see, this also comes from the fact that the enemy never wants you to really realize who you are and what you have in Him. Does that make sense? See? We've been redeemed, folks.
That's right.
We've been redeemed. We've been sanctified. We've been justified. By Him. By Him. Amen?
It's above and beyond what we understand.
Amen.
Every time we keep coming up against this border, if you want to call it, this wall, every one of us, our mind begins to reel. But it really is God's grace and His gift and all that He's done for us. It really is beyond what we
That's
can
right.
understand.
That's right.
And the more you study it and the more you think about it and you look at the Scriptures, the more you begin to realize, you know what? This is beyond what I can understand. It doesn't always seem like that. Sometimes it seems like, nah, I understand it. I got it. And then God will bring it around again, you know, and
Amen.
Scratch you a little and you go. You know, you get that funny look on your face like, is that right? That doesn't yeah. sound right, you know.
But you see, the reason we struggle with it, and you're not the only one. Everybody in this room struggles with it. I'd venture to say probably every day, if they're honest, is the fact that, oops, there it is again. Oops, there it is again. And it's because we see the things of the Word. We know what is out there for us that God has redeemed us from. But because we are flesh, the law keeps coming back to try to condemn us. Okay? But what we need to do, the Bible says if your heart condemns you, He's greater than your heart.
That's right.
He's greater than your heart. Amen? Condemnation doesn't come from God, sweetie, so you tell me if it's bad or good. That's right. But God, there's no condemnation. He says there's no condemnation. What I'm trying to tell you is guilt and condemnation. Listen carefully. Flat out. You need to settle this once and for all. Guilt and condemnation do not come from God. They come from the enemy to tear you down, make you feel worthless. Well, you know what? You know how worthless you are? God sent Jesus for you, kid. He sent Jesus for you. Does that sound like somebody who's worthless?
No.
That's right. Do you know, honey, you're worth every drop of blood that Jesus shed. Every drop. And you know why Jesus shed it? I'll go way beyond that, sweetheart. He loved His Father enough to obey His Father, and His Father loves us enough to send His Son. You see? It was because of Jesus' love for the Father that He fulfilled what the Father's plan was. Because the Father loves us, because He created us for Himself, for fellowship with Him. Why would God want to see us destroyed? His Bible says, that's not in His plan. It's our choice that takes us those places. It's by choosing to go back under the law. I don't know how we got here. I didn't have a set pattern here. I didn't know we were going to go here, but God's in control, huh? I like it. I don't know about y'all. I'm liking this. This is good.
Whether you realize this or not, Amanda, condemnation always precedes judgment.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Judgment leads to punishment.
Exactly.
Okay. So under the law, if you break the law, then a judge would condemn you, and that would be his judgment, and then there would be a punishment. Okay? Now, according to the law, the correct punishment for breaking the law was death. Okay? Sin leads to death. So if you're condemned, that means you're going to die. So that's why Christians are not condemned, because if we were condemned, we'd be under the judgment of God. You understand? So that's why we can't be condemned. Christians are beyond condemnation because of Jesus. Not because we have any worth in ourselves. Not because we live such a good life, but because of what He did.
Yeah.
So we don't deserve it. That's the whole key. That's the whole thing that blows your mind. And God did what He did because He loves us, not because we deserve it.
Amen.
We don't deserve it.
You could live the best life next to Jesus that anyone else ever lived. You could be the second right behind Jesus. You still don't deserve it. Okay?
Amanda,
almost perfect minus two things, and you still don't deserve it.
That statement is true, but you're taking it way too personally. See, you're not the evil, vile, vulgar thing that you think you are. You never were. Once Jesus, once you made the decision for Christ, all of that stuff washed away. Those laws that brought condemnation or pointed a finger of accusation at you were done away with. No, you need to hear that. They were done away with. They're not an issue anymore. Yeah, we still have to work at crucifying our flesh, meaning the appetites and things, okay? But the only thing that would have ever caused you to be separated from God was dealt with. Was dealt with. The Bible says, Amanda, and you know this, once and for all. Once and for all. Unless you let it. Oh, no, you're right. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah.
But see, He forgave you for your past, your present, and your future. Because He doesn't dwell on time like we do, right?
Yeah.
So He sees your whole life.
That's right.
Everything. Which, as a Christian, a lot of times we think once we become saved, then it's our business to get ourselves cleaned up afterwards. And it's not. That's His job.
That's right.
His job That's comes right. in. See, it's not our job to say, see, this was something I am just now figuring this out. That I would take my list to God of all the things that were wrong with me and say, yeah, every day. Every day I thought everybody did that. Yeah, I'm not kidding. I would say, here you go. All right, we're going to work on this and we're going to work on this. And, you know, and God is very patient, all right? And He would listen to me. And then He would send people to say, okay, now let's try to talk to her this way. And let's try to talk to her that way, right?
Sounds like the right thing to do.
Right, exactly, right? Because
sounds like a good
He
Christian.
Saw my heart. My heart was to please Him.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
But do you understand, see, what your mom's saying there, and this is what we need to grasp a hold of, it, is He is the one who perfects us,
right.
Not us.
Right.
He perfects us, and that's one step at a time. See, this is where we've gotten it all befuddled in religion. Because God told me that I couldn't drink or smoke, and you do it. Well, if He told me, then I got to tell you, you can't do that. What people don't understand is when God tells you it's sin, then it's sin. Until then, it's only my deal. And if I disobey, I pay the consequences. I have to face Him.
This is what I was told. When we walk with Jesus, what did Jesus do with the disciples? He washed their feet.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter said, wash all of you. He says, you've already been washed. And my girlfriend looked at me and she said, when you walk with Jesus, your feet get different. Not all of you, but your feet. Think about that. That's your life. Your feet. So when you go and you get your feet washed, you're already clean. It's just your feet that is dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, that perspective of this sinner mentality of thinking so bad about myself, one of the things that he put in here, and I really want to share this, is sanctification is a gift as well as a process. It's happened and we're happening. But he also says, Sanctification is simply the art of getting used to justification.
So,
interesting.
See, first of all, he prefaces it. It's a process. And yet, it's also getting used to being justified. And recognizing that the new creation, the Tanya that's in here, the God that dwells in this new spirit of mine, he can't sin.
clarify to you that you guys defeat these very wealthy things and you go to places that are evil?
No, well, no, just things that you're doing that need to be cleaned up.
So
see, when you're doing your
you
daily, well, when you have your heart cleansed by God, you then that's a
completed work.
It's a done deal. Will you ever not be my daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Ever. No matter what you do, you will always be my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
When you give your heart to God,
mm-hmm.
that's it. It's a done deal.
Okay, well, Amanda, let me see if I can explain it like this. I know your dad, your mom, and all the adults here can attest to this. We know we love God, we serve God, but sometimes in the course of a day, we may lose focus. We didn't do anything wrong. We didn't rebel against God, but we lose focus on what the real important part of us is. And God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit want to be a part of our lives in every aspect. So in other words, what happens is because of the things and the urgency of things in the world we live in, sometimes our focus gets off. Didn't mean we did something wrong. Didn't mean we don't still love God. Didn't mean we're not still striving for the mastery, as the Word says, or running the full race. You know, pushing for the mark, you know, pressing on for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. But we get a little sidetracked because of busy things. So that washing washes your feet, or basically what it is, it's the water comes in and washes that away and brings you back into focus where you need to be. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It'd be like going out and working out to the point where you had sweat running down your face. You know how it burns your eyes? You just need your eyes cleaned a little bit. Get that sting out of there. Same thing. Does that make sense? That's right. Take your peace and leave. Take your peace and leave.
What about using a stand analogy of going to the river?
Hmm? That doesn't necessarily mean, when we're talking about these things, see, these are all word pictures. It doesn't necessarily mean a river. But, you know, one of the things that's talked about in the Word, it says, if you fall on the rock, you may be broken, but you won't be destroyed. But if the rock falls on you, you'll be utterly crushed. You'll be utterly, utterly annihilated. I'm paraphrasing. What that's talking about is if you remember, first of all, who you are, what God did for you, the price that He paid, and continue to keep that at the forefront, and the fact that you're pushing to do His will, amen, then what that means you have fallen on Jesus, the rock, the cornerstone. And then, you know, it'll break up the things that you want to get rid of in your life. It's not rocket science, sweetie. It's simple. And everything will be okay. But if you go against Him, or you forget, or get carried away to where you lose sight of Him, and He, or the rock, falls on you, which means, you know, the weight of what the Bible says, the wages of sin and things like that. It's not the sin of... See, once you receive Jesus, the death thing is done away with. That's something we need to settle in all of our lives. That's done away with. What happens then is what we give into and what we give place in our life, that's what begins to lead us astray or causes... And remember, He said that, who's able to take you out of my hand?
Nobody. Nothing.
Who's able to separate you from the love of God?
Nothing. No one.
That's right. See? That's right. You're right. Only ourselves. And no person in their right mind. No person in their right mind would give back that gift. It's a gift. It's been given. It's yours. The only way that you can lose it is if you turn around through becoming so reprobate, and I'm telling you right now, I don't think that's possible, that you give it back. And let me tell you something. You don't have enough life to do that.
Amanda?
Yes.
Two things come to mind that I'd like to read a lot. And that is the Lord's Prayer, because it helps answer a lot of our questions. And also Jeremiah 29:11. See, God's plan for you, now that you are His child, is for good and not for evil.
That's right.
It's to prosper you and to give you a future and a hope. And nowhere does he, is it his plan to cast you down or to, you know, to put you away, because that's not his desire.
That's right. You know, we forget that God, the CEO of the universe, planned for today. Now, when did he prepare for our provision for today?
Right.
Now, when did it take effect? When did our salvation take effect? Our provision, everything that God has given us. When did that take effect? But when do we talk about it all the time? When Jesus died for us, right?
When he died, yeah.
Right. So now, when Jesus died, because we live in time, mm-hmm. so our brain is kind of limited by time.
Mm-hmm.
We think when Jesus died, he took care of everything for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Up until the time that we know that, or our whole life? See, because a lot of times we get this in our head of, yes, Jesus died for us, you know, and once we learn that, then that takes care of everything up to that point. And then everything after that is on us. And that's not the way it is. You see, because when Jesus died for us and gave us all this provision that God had stored up, it worked for the people before Jesus, during Jesus, and after Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't anybody it didn't work for. It wasn't any part of their life that it didn't work for. There are some people who choose not to receive it. But everybody who chooses to receive God gets all of God's provision. Now, God provided for this day already, from before the foundation of
mm-hmm.
the world.
That's right.
Through Jesus, at a point in time that we can say it was, you know, 33 A.D. or whatever. We can call it that. But really, in God's economy, it always was.
Amen.
And it always will be.
See, Amanda...
God lives outside of time. So all of the provision for your entire life, Amanda, has already been taken care of. God already knows everything about you. Everywhere your foot will go, he already
That's right.
knows.
That's right.
But because we tread in the world a little bit, we sometimes got to get our feet washed. Because we still have to walk in this world until yeah. he takes us to be with him forever.
Yeah. But it's not something that can bring death to you. It's something where you make a conscious decision. Let me put it this way. Let's just start at the beginning. Why were you created? For fellowship with him. What did he say about hell, who that was created for? The devil and his angels. Okay? So where do you get included in that? So if God's plan for you was to be in fellowship with him from the foundation of the world, and he devised this plan after Adam had committed treason against him by doing an act of disobedience, then, man, I can't get away from this. This is so good. This is so good. Then, because he devised that plan, that means that he... And see, he knew the decisions you were going to make. I heard somebody say, you know, in the lottery of life, God chose you to be born where you were born. And they call it lottery. Well, we know that's not the case. God doesn't do anything by lottery or by accident or by happenstance. He has a purpose and a plan. We got to get that down, first of all. But the point is, because he created you for fellowship, then he made the provision for you to be always able to walk with him, because he knew the decisions you'd make from back then. He already had your hairs numbered. He had you named. He knew that Amanda would serve God. So see, the things that come to, you know, it says don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, it talks about the things that, you know, we get entangled up with things that's, you know, those yokes that so easily beset us, you know. But you see, if God had the plan and he did that and it wasn't possible for us to live up to it, do you think he would have sent his son? Okay. And basically, it's not possible for us to live up to it in ourselves. But because of God's plan and God setting that in order, then we can walk in that. And all it takes is an analogy I could use is a fine-tuning. You got to go and get the oil change once in a while. You got to go and get new spark plugs and stuff. Just a fine-tuning. Keep things running the way they're supposed to go. Same thing as washing your feet, or, you know, getting the dust of the world washed off.
Yeah.
But you know, it's His Word and the washing of His Word. That's why it's so important that we be in fellowship with Him and with His Word. Right. Why do you do that? Well, exactly. Exactly. But the point is, the reason you take a shower every day is because through the course of the day, by working out, being in the heat, you sweat, poisons come to the surface, and you need to wash that away. That's the same example as the melting pot that purifies the gold. The more heat that's applied, the more you take the scraper or get in the shower, and the poisons and the ugly stuff is washed away, and the more it becomes pure.
Kind of like when you're working in the spiritual world, fighting these demons, doing all that stuff, you know, doing that well. You sweat and you get rid of all the bad, evil stuff that's inside of you.
But we don't fight against evil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And how do we do that? You know, taking a baseball bat or one of these stands and waving it? No. No. By taking heed thereto according to the Word of God. See? It's that simple. Not rocket science. It's simple. Amen?
Right, because you don't know it.
That's right.
Peter says it and John says it. You know the truth. He says you don't even need to be taught. It's in your heart.
That's right.
But it's to remind us, to bring it back.
Amen. Amen. And let me tell you one last thing, and we're going to draw this to a close. If you remember, or if you read, it says when you stand before Him, not one opinion or thought that you have is going to even be able to be spoken. Not one opinion or thought or accusation that anybody else has is going to be able to be spoken, because they won't be there. You'll be standing before Him. And the only thing that's going to come out at that time is His opinion of you. Did you get that?
Right.
I don't know about y'all, that's exciting. That makes me, that gives me Holy Ghost goosebumps. Woo-hoo! I mean, bring it on. Let's go. You see what I'm saying? See, Amanda, God's not against you, honey. He's for you. He's always been for you. He will always be for you. He said, even if you choose to go. See, one of the things that there's somebody in my life, in my family. Every time something comes up, as a justification for the actions, thinking, well, I've got salvation, so I got the fire insurance, it's all cool now, I can do whatever I want to, and nothing will separate me from the love of God. Well, she's absolutely right. Nothing will separate her from. But you know that God loves you so much, He'll let you walk right into hell. He'll still love you, but He'll let you do it.
Another way to say that is that Tanya loves Amanda, and if Amanda does anything she wants to do, then Tanya will definitely love her. Okay, and love doesn't mean I'll just let you do what's comfortable.
Well, love sometimes there's... The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. But you know, listen to me, honey. Is there any doubt in your mind that your mom loves you or your dad loves you? Even when they're spanking you? I mean, your flesh doesn't like it. Your flesh cries out. But the point is, you see, in that even, that's coming because they love you. They want the best for you. See what I'm saying? But does that change the relationship at all? Because they discipline you, do you feel like you're hated? You may hate what's happening for the moment. I can vouch for that. You know. But the point is, you understand it? You realize there's a relationship there, and nothing that you do or anybody else can do can change that relationship.
Right. And if they really believe that they're being loved, and this goes into that, all of us, our insecurities come out different ways. Everybody has them, and they all manifest differently. We like to judge each other. Well, I don't do that, but I do this.
No, wait a second.
We wouldn't do those things if we knew we were loved. We would not do those things. If we were secure in the love and the acceptance of God. So when somebody says, well, God loves me anyway, and they feel you feel like they're using that as an excuse, without confronting them, you can go in through the back door. It's become very, as I've been reading this, when you find that you're secure, you don't want to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
Because those things were feeding a need that you had.
that you were using something else to feed the need instead of letting God feed the need.
Amen.
Even in good things, in what we consider
mm-hmm.
serving God,
mm-hmm.
because we are trying to find our acceptance in that instead of in God.
See, what we need to come to the realization of, your Bible says that we're already accepted in the Beloved. Hey, I don't know what it was all about, but I had fun. How about you? And I think I learned something. In fact, I know I did. I thank you that you're revealing yourself through your word and through one another, Lord. As we grow, we have the ability, Lord, as your word says. And when so you come together, everyone has a psalm and the doctrine of the teaching. We thank you, Lord, that you're causing iron to sharpen iron in this. That we're able to receive from one another. We're able to feed one another. We're able to comfort, exhort, and lift up one another, Lord. Let us continue to have hearts after you, which means open hearts, that when you speak, no matter who it's through, Lord, we are receptive. Now tonight, Lord, seal your word in our hearts. The word that came forth, you're the star of this show, Lord. No one else. You're the star. We want you here. We want to hear from you. And tonight we heard from you. I thank you for it. We receive it. And once again, now seal it in our hearts. Go with these folks. Bless them for the rest of this week. And into the weekend, until we can meet again, we thank you for your provision, for your comfort, for your protection. In Jesus' name. And everyone who agrees says amen.